she knew too well. Legend wasn't crowned yet, but he already moved like an emperor stepping into a throne room. Tella's eyes trailed upward from his tall black boots to the fitted black trousers hugging his muscular legs. His shirt was also black, but it was accented with a vest covered in thin wolf-gray lines that matched the cravat at his throat and the lapels of his velvet coat. The coat was the rich royal color of blackberries, a shade she'd never seen him in. But he wore the color well. It complemented his bronze skin tone and made his hair look even blacker and his eyes look even brighter, bringing out flecks of gold that reminded her of stars at night. No wonder they'd already started creating statues of him around the city. He might have been a liar and a villain, but he made both things look very good. The other cells were empty, but he didn't even glance at them, and Tella had the impression that Legend wouldn't have darted his eyes around even if the cells had been full of deadly criminals. He moved like nothing in the human world could hurt him. He didn't need to look over his shoulder. According to the witch, he only had one weakness, and Tella doubted it was in this dungeon. She couldn't believe she'd chased him into another world because she'd thought he was in danger. Even though he could have been telling the truth about losing some of his powers, she should have known that he'd do whatever it took to get them back. "Let me out of here, you bastard!"
"I think I preferred your highness."
He continued his elegant walk toward her, moving with unrushed strides down the dim hall. Someone else might have thought he didn't have any particularly strong feelings about their current situation, but Tella had spent the last 2 months sharing dreams with him. She was aware of his movements, aware of him. She noticed the tick in his jaw as he slowly raked her over, eyes traveling from her bare feet to her naked calves. His gaze tightened as he reached her skirt with all its ripped-up feathers. But instead of making a mocking comment, Tella saw lines form across his brow, as if he was trying to puzzle something out. Was it possible he didn't know that she'd followed him to see the witch? And if that was the case, then why had he locked her up? She glowered at him when his probing gaze traveled from her neck to her lips, and then finally, her eyes. The dungeon suddenly grew very warm. His gaze was still tight and dark, but it was edged in heat that she felt all the way down to her toes. For months, Tella had pondered what it would be like when they met again outside of her dreams. She wondered if he'd touch her at last, if he'd apologize for leaving her on the steps in front of the Temple of the Stars. Once, she'd even imagined him asking her to be his empress. She almost laughed at that thought now, but she was wholly serious when she said, "Just because you're going to be emperor doesn't mean you can lock me up without reason." The corner of his mouth slowly lifted into an arrogant tilt.
"Actually, it does. But I didn't mean for you to be arrested. I only told my guards to collect you and bring you to me once you are found."
His voice was cool, even. Again, another person might not have picked up on the way his sentences turned razor sharp right at the ends. He was definitely angry, and angry with her. Tella couldn't believe it. Her mother was dead. The fates were awake. Her sister had been kidnapped. His guards had locked her up, and yet Legend kept looking at her as if she was the one who'd done something wrong. "What crime have I committed?"
"I told you, I didn't have you arrested. I know how you feel about cages. I was only trying to find you."
"Did you really have to use your guards?" She tried to keep her voice as even as his was, but it was difficult. She could feel Jax's spell cracking. Her chest was tight and her head was pounding, and Legend still hadn't unlocked her cell door. "If you'd wanted to find me, why didn't you just visit me in my dreams and ask me where I was?" A quick clench of his jaw.
"I tried to."
"Then why couldn't you?" Tella said. Shortly after he'd first showed up in her dreams, he'd taught her how to control parts of them. Little tricks to change what she wore, and larger tricks in case she didn't want certain people entering her dreams. But even when she'd been mad at Legend, she'd always let him in. I wasn't keeping you out. I know, but something else was. Tella didn't see Legend move. He must have used his magic to hide what he was doing. But suddenly the door between them was open, and Legend was holding something in his hands. 2 pieces of confetti. 1 shaped like a spade, and the other shaped like a heart. A sharp memory returned to Tella. Jax carrying her through his gambling den as card suit confetti fell from the ceiling. Was this why Legend was mad at her? Because she'd been with Jax? Where were you last night, Donatella? Again, she hadn't seen him move, but he was now farther away, leaning against the bars opposite her cell, making it clear that even though they were outside of her dreams, some of the rules hadn't changed. He was still keeping his distance. That's none of your business, Tella snapped. And even if it was, I don't have time to argue with you about it. I need to find my sister. Tella! Scarlet's voice carried down the hall before Tella caught sight of her, running forward in a storm of flushed raspberry skirts, bright enough to light up the entire dungeon. Where have you been? Scarlet captured Tella in a hug so tight it cut off Tella's breath. Or maybe she couldn't breathe because of the emotions suddenly captured in her throat. Her sister wasn't dead or injured or kidnapped. She was here and safe and alive. We've been searching the entire city for you and Paloma. I thought something happened to you, Tella choked out. Why would you think that? Scarlet shot an accusing look at Legend. He continued to lean against the prison bars, regarding Tella with narrowed eyes. I didn't get the chance to tell her you were here. Oh, good, you found her. Julian appeared at the end of the hall, swaggering forward as if the tension in the dungeon wasn't thick enough to choke on. He was dressed in finer clothes than Tella had ever seen him in, but they looked tired, as if he'd been wearing them since the day before. Where was she? We were just figuring that out. Scarlet turned back to her sister. Legend told us that he thought Jax had taken you. The bright raspberry skirts of Scarlet's dress began to fade as she took in the disheveled state of Tella's feathered dress. She'd probably lost a couple feathers during her time with Jax, but she doubted they'd come undone in the same way Scarlet was imagining. And after all she'd seen yesterday, Jax didn't feel like the most dangerous immortal that Tella knew. Is your mother here too? Julian asked. Scarlet didn't say anything, but Tella could see the question in her eyes as well. Eyes so much like their mother's that just looking at them made Tella tremble all over, as if her bones wanted to break out of her skin and flee before they were forced to relive last night's horrors. Tella, what's wrong? Scarlet reached for her sister's hand again. Tella wrapped her fingers around Scarlet's, the same way she had as a child the day after their mother had vanished from Trizda. Tella had been the first of the sisters to discover Paloma was missing. She'd found the room her father had destroyed after he couldn't find Paloma anywhere. Then Scarlet had been there, taking her sister's hand and silently promising she'd never let go as long as Tella needed her to hold on. She's left again. Scarlet guessed. Tella was tempted to say yes. It would have been so much easier for her and for her sister if she just let Scarlet believe her mother had run off. But if Tella took the easy path now, it would be so much harder to take the necessary one. Last night she'd vowed to kill the fallen star, and she planned to follow through. She'd find a way to destroy him, and she couldn't do it on her own. She took a deep breath, but it became lodged in her throat until she finally managed to say, "Our mother died yesterday." Scarlet staggered back and clutched her stomach, as if the wind had been punched out of her.
Tella wanted to take her sister's hand again, but she couldn't stop to comfort her. If Tella stopped talking, she knew she'd start crying. She had to keep going. She reached into her pocket and shared the goodbye letter her mother had written. Then, Tella told them how she'd ignored her mother's warnings and followed her into one of the ruins, where Tella had watched every disturbing thing that had passed between the fallen star and their mother, until the fallen star finally took Paloma's life. The only part Tella wasn't entirely honest about was the bit involving Jax. Since they already knew she'd been with him, she told them how he'd found her and carried her out of the cavern. But she didn't add that he'd then helped her by taking away some of her grief. When she finished, the four of them no longer appeared to be standing in the halls of Legend's dungeon. Again, she hadn't even seen Legend move, but she knew he'd created the comforting illusion they stood within now. The cold floors had turned to plush cream carpets, the stone walls had turned to white soapstone, and the barred windows had shifted to pretty stained glass ones, covered with serene pictures of clouds and calming skies that shined pale blue light over everyone's grim faces. Julian offered his condolences first. Somewhere, during her story, he'd moved close to Scarlet and wrapped an arm around her shoulder. Legend still remained distant. He leaned against one of the gleaming walls, but when he looked at Tella, all the earlier anger and wariness had disappeared, replaced with a look so indescribably gentle. She would never have pictured it on his face. "I wish it was in my power to bring her back. I know how much she meant to you, and I'm sorry you lost her the way that you did." His fingers twitched, as if he were tempted to reach for her. But for once, Tella was glad that he didn't attempt to touch her. Last night, Jax had held her together with touch. But Tella had the feeling that if Legend pulled her into his arms right now, she'd fall apart entirely. She could handle his glares and his barbed remarks, but his tenderness could upend her completely. Scarlet didn't say a word, but tears streamed down her cheeks, more tears than Tella would have expected, given her rocky feelings toward their mother. Tella felt as if she should have been there to try to soothe them instead of Julian, but again she feared that it would only make her cry too. Then, warmth encircled Tella as Scarlet broke away from Julian and folded her arms around her sister. Scarlet's chest shook, but her arms were unshakable, holding Tella impossibly tight, the same way Scarlet had that day after their mother had first disappeared. Tella shuddered against her sister, but she didn't fall to pieces as she had feared. Their mother had once told them there was nothing like the love of a sister, and this was one of the moments where Tella could feel that truth. She could feel her sister loving her twice as much as before, trying to heal the wound her mother's death had left. It was too soon for it to heal, but Tella didn't know if the hurt would ever completely mend. But Scarlet's love reminded her that while some things never healed, other things grew stronger.
"Maybe we should leave and give them some time alone," Julian whispered to Legend.
"No," Tella said, breaking away from Scarlet. "I don't want to grieve now. I'll grieve after the fallen star is dead."
"We have to stop the other fates as well," Scarlet added with a sniff. "We can't let anyone else suffer like this, or like the people we saw yesterday."
"What did you see yesterday?" Tella asked.
"A family that was petrified by the poisoner. Though we weren't certain it was him, or that the fates were really waking up, until now," added Julian.
"But you suspected it. That's why you sent guards for me?" Tella turned to Legend, but if he had actually been concerned about her safety and not just jealous of Jax, it didn't show. Legend's expression had shuddered, and any traces of gentleness or tenderness had vanished from his handsome face.
"Did you see any other fates when you were with Jax?" he asked. "Do you know who he's working with right now?"
"No," Tella said. She might have said more. She might have told them where Jax was and what he was doing in his gambling den. She was certain they were all curious.
But Jax wasn't the real enemy now. The fallen star was, and according to the witch, there was only one weakness that would allow him to be killed, and legend shared that same weakness. I think we need to worry less about Jax, who actually helped me last night, and more about the fallen star. What is the fallen star's weakness?
I don't know, legend said.
Yes, you do. Tella kept her eyes fixed on his. Earlier, his gaze had been full of stars, but now his eyes were soulless jet black with midnight blue veins, the same colors as the wings that Dante had tattooed on his back. How had she ever thought legend was only Dante? Tella should have known from his eyes alone. Eyes didn't change color. Pupils might dilate and whites might turn yellow or red, but irises didn't change the way that his did. Don't lie to me, legend. Esmeralda told you that the fallen star's weakness is the same as yours. Legend's eyes flashed, gold white. Lines briefly formed around them, as if he were smiling. But they were there and gone so fast, Tella wondered if she imagined it. Amusement was not the response she'd expected.
What she said was useless, Legend answered, something like bitterness clouding his tone.
If we want to defeat the fallen star and have a chance at killing the fates, we have to find another weakness.
Wait, you went to see Esmeralda?
The shock on Julian's face made it clear that Tella wasn't the only one from whom Legend kept his extracurricular activities secret.
Who's Esmeralda? Scarlet asked, looking between them.
I haven't heard that name in a long time, chimed a new voice. As Jovan entered the glimmering hall, she was one of Legend's most welcoming performers. But she was perhaps also the most difficult of all of them to read. She was always smiling, always friendly, always cheerful. Since no one could possibly be that happy all the time, Tella sometimes imagined Jovan's grins were just another piece of the costume she wore during Caraval. But Jovan wasn't smiling today. Her dark brown face looked uncharacteristically stern as she approached Legend. In one of their dreams, Legend had told Tella that most of his performers had taken on roles in the palace when the last Caraval had ended and he'd been declared the heir. Jovan appeared to be a high-ranking guard, dressed in a navy military coat with gold tassels on the shoulders that matched the gold lines striping her pants.
Sir, may I speak with you for a moment? There's been another incident.
Chapter 16. Donatella. Hairline cracks formed along the edges of Legend's illusionary windows.
Which fate?
The poisoner again. He turned an entire wedding party to stone near Idlewild Castle.
They're fine now, Jovan added quickly. But the person who saved them isn't. The poisoner left a note saying that the party would only become human again once someone willingly took their place. The bride's sister sacrificed herself.
Scarlet clasped her hands together, as if she wanted to send up a prayer to the saints.
Is the sister stone now?
Jovan nodded grimly.
I'm sorry, sir. We took all the precautions you asked.
Legend rubbed a hand over his jaw. Move the girl to the stone garden and see if any of the potions Delilah peddles during Caraval can reverse it. Did the wedding party at least get a good description of the poisoner this time?
Not of him, Jovan said. But one member of the wedding party had the impression that the poisoner might have had someone with him.
Legend cursed under his breath.
Do you think we should cancel tomorrow night's midnight maze and tell everyone to stay indoors?
Jovan asked. No, Legend said. We can enact a citywide curfew for the people who aren't invited and tell them it's because of preparation for the coronation. But if we cancel the maze, everyone will know something is wrong.
But there is something wrong.
Julian gave his brother a hard stare,
but it still looked friendly compared to the cold gaze that Legend was capable of.
The fates feed off fear, Legend said. I don't want to turn an entire city into a feast for them. And as far as we know now, only the Fallen Star, the Poisoner, and the Prince of Hearts are awake.
Jax isn't a threat, Tella protested. The fate we need to worry about is the Fallen Star. We can't even hurt the other ones until he's dead. But Legend won't tell us how to defeat him because he's too afraid of sharing his own weakness.
Tella shot Legend her sharpest scowl.
Legend's nostrils flared, and Tella doubted it was a coincidence that the stained glass windows filled with bleak storm clouds and lightning.
Give Tella and me a moment alone.
No one had to be asked twice. Julian and Jovan turned and walked quickly down the hall. Only Scarlet glanced at Tella, but she nodded that it was all right for her sister to leave them. This conversation with Legend was overdue. As soon as the others were out of sight, Tella whirled on Legend, but she was caught off guard as the corridor shifted again. The ceiling stretched 4 stories high as the walls transformed from white soapstone to rich mahogany wood, inlaid with bookshelves covered in pristine volumes and cabinets full of treasures lit by delicate lights that floated like lost pixies. Her old prison cell was now a roaring fire, warming her back as extraordinarily soft furs cushioned her feet. Chairs appeared next, red velvet with wide, clamshell-shaped backs, like the ones she often favored in the dreams she shared with Legend. They rested in front of the blazing fire, inviting her to sit, while gentle violin music trailed down from the domed ceiling. She couldn't help but compare the scene to Jax's dark study with its worn whiskey leather couch and its carpets dotted with burned specks from the fire. It was a place for making mistakes and bad deals. Although she hadn't mentioned spending the night with Jax, somehow she felt as if Legend was trying to make a point with his grand illusion, that what Jax could give her would never compare to the things that Legend was capable of. Are you trying to show off or just distract me?
I thought you'd be more comfortable here.
Legend strode across the elegant study to lean one jacketed elbow against the mantle of the fireplace.
If you don't like it, I can change it. What was that dream you were so infatuated with? Was it the one with the zebras?
He gave her a teasing smile, looking much more like the Legend of her dreams than he had when he'd first shown up in the dungeon. His grin grew wider as Tella felt her dress change, turning sleeker as her feathers shifted into black and white lines of silk, mirroring the fitted gown she'd worn in the dream he'd just mentioned. She'd been excited about the zebras, which he'd created after she'd told him she wasn't sure she believed the curious animal was real. But it was the way he hadn't been able to take his eyes off of her in the dream that had given her the real thrill. Stop trying to distract me, Tella said, and take the illusion off my dress. I don't want to be your next Esmeralda. Legend's smile vanished.
You and Esmeralda.
Don't tell me we're not alike, Tella said. I already got that impression from spying on you. His eyes clouded over.
Then why are you upset?
You deceived her. You took all of her magic. Then you kidnapped her. Legend's expression didn't change, but behind him the fire blazed hotter and brighter, shifting from orange to scorching red.
If you knew her, you wouldn't feel sorry for her, Tella. She isn't innocent. I collected her so she could pay for her crimes. Esmeralda is ancient. She used to be the Fallen Star's consort. And before she trapped him and his fates in the cards, she helped the Fallen Star create the fates. She's responsible for their existence, and the Temple of the Stars wants to make her face trial for that.
What does that have to do with you?
Tella asked. You might remember that I made a deal with the Temple.
Legend removed his jacket, took out a cufflink, and folded back one of his black shirt sleeves.
It might have looked as if he were doing it because of the sweltering heat from the fire. Except as he moved, Tella caught a glimpse of the brand on the underside of his wrist. The mark was not nearly as brutal as the first time Tella had seen it seared into his skin. It was now so faint, she could barely detect it, as if it were healing and disappearing. But she still remembered what it had looked like before, and what it signified. The Temple of the Stars had branded Legend in exchange for allowing Tella to enter the vault where her mother had hidden the cursed deck of destiny, trapping the fates. "I vowed to the temple that I would bring them the witch who helped create the fates. When I did, I swore it on my immortality. If I hadn't delivered Esmeralda to them, I would have died that night, and nothing would have brought me back to life this time. I know you're angry with me right now, but I'd hoped you wouldn't want me dead." Of course she didn't want him dead. Just thinking Legend was in trouble had driven Tella to chase him into another world. But saying that felt like giving too much away, when he still wasn't giving anything away. When Legend had first accepted the brand from the Temple of the Stars in Tella's place, it had felt like such a great sacrifice on his part. But knowing the lengths Legend was willing to go in order to get what he wanted, Tella was no longer sure if he'd made the bargain to prevent her from being owned by the temple, or if he had gone through with it to ensure she'd enter the vault and retrieve the cards for him. She wanted to think he'd done it for her, but she still wasn't certain, and right now that wasn't what mattered. He might have given her answers about the witch, but he still hadn't given her the answers that she wanted most. "Is that why you won't tell me your weakness?" she asked. "Have you actually thought I wanted you dead? You think I'd use your weakness against you?" He looked into the fire, avoiding her gaze. "The weakness I share with the fallen star won't do us any good when it comes to defeating him."
"Since when do you care about good?"
"I don't." Legend broke off. His eyes shot past her, as if he'd heard a noise outside of their illusion. Whatever it was, Tella couldn't see where it came from until a door appeared on the wall next to the fire, and Armando stepped through it. Tella cringed away, moving closer to the fireplace and to Legend. Armando was the performer who'd played the role of her sister's fiancé during the sister's first caraval. Tella couldn't stand the sight of his smug smile, his calculating green eyes, and the irritating way he tapped his fingers against the blade he wore at his hip. Like Jovan, he was also dressed like a member of Legend's Guard, in a navy military coat with a shining line of golden buttons. "Why is he here?" Tella asked.
"Armando has agreed to guard you when I can't be around."
"No," Tella said. "I don't want him following me, and I don't need a guard." Legend pierced her with a look that was hotter than the flames at his back. "I didn't free you from the cards just to see you killed by the fates." Tella opened her mouth, but she couldn't find the proper response. Legend never talked about what he'd done to free her from the cards. The only time he'd acknowledged it at all had been that same night, when he'd told her that he hadn't been willing to sacrifice her. But then, after she'd called him her hero, he'd walked away, making her question everything.
"You're welcome to stay here in the palace."
Legend pushed off the fireplace mantle and picked up his jacket from the clamshell chair.
"Your old room in the Golden Tower is still yours if you want it. And your sister's old room is hers, too."
Tella narrowed her eyes. "What do you want in return?"
"I never wanted you to leave in the first place."
Legend turned and walked through the walls of the illusion, as if he'd just said too much. Although to Tella, it didn't feel like nearly enough. Chapter 17 Scarlet. While Tella and Legend talked about fates and illusions, Scarlet wished she were only experiencing an illusion. Everyone's feelings were everywhere.
They came in too many colors for Scarlet to keep track of or ignore. Scarlet had never felt anything like it. It was far more intense than the brief flashes she'd seen with Nicholas and Julian. Mournful, nevermore gray covered the ground like deathly fog. Anxious violet vines licked the palace hallway, and dark, fearful greens turned everything else sickly and toxic. Scarlet couldn't breathe. She could barely even tell Jovan and Julian she needed air before she stumbled toward the heavy door leading to the stairs. Although Scarlet and the others had left Tella and Legend alone in the dungeon so they could talk, Scarlet could still feel the crushing weight of Tella's heavy gray grief and the spiky rage of her burning red anger at the fates. Scarlet hadn't been able to see Legend's emotions, but she swore they were the ones making it so hard to breathe. Or maybe it was Scarlet's own unexpected grief at the loss of her mother.
Grimson.
Julian rushed to her side. Don't. Scarlet shook his hand away. His concern was more than she could take. Stormy, stormy, stormy blue, swirling and fierce and... Scarlet's vision filled with black.
Grimson!
Chapter 18. Donatella. Legend hadn't just moved into the palace. He'd taken it over. Servants covered every inch of the place, buzzing around like worker bees as they either prepared for Legend's upcoming coronation or worked on the massive renovation he'd commissioned. During Ellentine's reign, her palace had been a thing made of dust and history. It had been grand in the way old stories were grand, full of curving details, threaded tapestries, and delicate artistry. But Tella imagined Legend's palace would be none of those things. Legend possessed a fallen angel's beauty that commanded attention. He was tailored suits over inked tattoos and lies that people wanted to believe. His palace would be breathtaking in the way that only powerful things could be. Tella knocked against her sister's door in the sapphire wing once more. Scaffolding covered both sides of the entry, but there were no workers in sight at the moment, so Scarlet should have heard the knocks.
Either she's not there or she's not answering, Armando said.
I didn't ask for your opinion. Tella knocked again, just to be obnoxious, since she was certain Legend was just being obnoxious when he'd chosen to assign Armando, whom he knew she despised, as her personal guard. Tella wondered if Scarlet was with Julian. In the dungeon, they'd looked closer than Tella had expected. In a dream a week ago, Legend had told her when Julian had returned to Valenda, but as far as Tella knew, he hadn't come to visit Scarlet until after Tella had left. Whatever reunion they'd had must have been magnificent. Or maybe Scarlet hadn't been quite as over him as she'd claimed. Something both sisters had in common. Tella knocked on the door a final time. But Armando was right. Scarlet wasn't there, or she wasn't answering the door. Either way, Tella couldn't stand here and do nothing. Not as long as the fates were out there. Tella had bathed and scrubbed off the dirt from the cavern and changed into a slender ice blue gown with tiered skirts that she must have left in the palace. But she would never wash away what had happened in those ruins. She could still hear the click, click, clack of the wheel and see her mother's wounded body unmoving on the floor. The fallen star needed to be stopped. And he needed to pay for what he'd done to her mother. And if Legend wasn't going to share the fallen star's weakness with Tella, then she was going to find someone else who would. And she knew just the person. Jax. Cold licked the back of Tella's spine. For a moment, she was back in his study. On the floor, feverish and hot except for all the places where his cool limbs tangled with hers. It was a bad idea to go back.
But if anyone knew the fallen star's weakness, it would be another fate. And hadn't Jack said something about hating the fallen star? Tella glanced at Armando. He was barely 2 steps behind her. Losing him might be a little tricky. But she couldn't take him with her to Jack's. If Legend found out Tella was visiting Jack's again, he might actually lock her up in the tower. She did believe that this morning's imprisonment was a mistake. But Tella also knew that she wasn't dealing with the legend of her dreams, who she'd almost convinced herself wasn't that different from Dante. She was dealing with Legend the Immortal, the soon-to-be emperor, the legend who did whatever it took to get what he wanted. And if he wanted Tella safe and away from the Prince of Hearts, she could picture him taking measures that went far beyond simply assigning her a guard. Tella quickened her steps as she passed the stone garden. The statues had been human once, but when the fates ruled centuries ago, they had treated humans more like objects and playthings. One of the fates had turned all the people in the garden to stone just to have lifelike decorations. Tella didn't know if there was any life inside them, if the people who had been frozen could still look out on the world and see and hear. She swore that the statues' faces appeared more terror-stricken than they had before the fates had been freed from the cards. She wondered if the bride's sister who had been turned to stone today was standing among them, or if they'd found a way to cure her. But somehow Tella doubted that. Her limbs had turned shaky again as she reached the carriage house.
His Highness would prefer it if you didn't leave the palace grounds, said Armando.
And I'd prefer it if he didn't keep so many secrets. Tella hopped inside a floating coach that would take her to the temple district. With a groan, Armando threw himself into the carriage opposite her as the cozy box took off.
I hope we're at least going somewhere interesting.
Actually, we're not going anywhere. With that, Tella opened the door and leaped outside. She tore the hem of her glacier blue gown and nearly sprained her ankle from the awkward landing. If the carriage had risen any higher, she definitely would have injured herself. But it was worth the risk to get away. Armando scrambled to the door, but the coach was too high for him to jump safely. Tella blew him a mocking kiss. I won't tell His Highness that you lost me, if you don't tell. Then she picked another carriage line, one that would take her to University Circle and to the Prince of Hearts. Chapter 19 Scarlet. The pillows beneath Scarlet were so much fluffier than the lumpy things in her rented apartment. The sheets were far softer as well. They smelled of cool breezes and starlit nights and the only boy she'd ever loved. Not her pillows. Not her sheets. Not her bed. Julian's bed. And just then, it felt like the safest place in the world. Scarlet wanted to hug the feathery pillow and curl deep into the sheets until she fell back asleep.
Crimson,
Julian's voice, gentle but direct enough to tell Scarlet that he knew she was awake. She sat up and slowly cracked her eyes open. For a heartbeat, her vision was still blurry about the edges. But there weren't feelings crowding the room. The only colors she saw were the ones that were supposed to be there. The cool dark blue of the sheets cocooning her, the sleek gray of the curtains at the corners of the bed, the warm brown of Julian's skin, and the intoxicating amber of his eyes. His room was full of the same colors and slightly wild, like his appearance. Stubble lined his jaw, his hair looked as if he hadn't stopped running his fingers through it, and his cravat was on the floor at his feet. Scarlet didn't need to see his emotions to detect his concern. He sat beside her on the bed, but he looked ready to catch her if she took another fall.
How long was I out? She asked.
Long enough to make me worry that this wasn't just an elaborate ploy to get into my bed,
Scarlet managed a smile. What if I said it was a ploy?
I'd tell you that you don't need one. You're welcome in my bed anytime.
He gave her a wicked grin. It would have been convincing if she hadn't just seen thin threads of worried silver ghosting around the edges of him. She wondered if he suspected that she hadn't just fainted out of grief. Scarlet wanted to close her eyes again, to shut out the emotions coming off him, but she didn't want to shut him out.
Thank you, Scarlet said. I'm here for whatever you need.
Julian shifted closer to the headboard, a silent invitation. She could lean against him if she wanted, and she did. Scarlet pressed her head to his solid shoulder and closed her eyes. But even though she managed to mute the silver worry hovering around him, she couldn't turn off everything. Earlier, she'd thought the grief she'd felt only belonged to Tella, but perhaps some of it had also been Scarlet's.
I didn't think it would hurt, Scarlet confessed. I thought I'd lost my mother a long time ago. I was furious with her. I didn't trust her. I didn't want her back in our lives. I didn't want her at all.
Julian held Scarlet tighter and pressed a kiss to her forehead. She didn't know how long they sat there like that. And she didn't know if she was sad because her mother was dead, or if she was sad because she'd wanted her mother gone. She wanted to be sad her mother was dead. That's how a good daughter would have felt. And if there was one thing Scarlet tried to be, it was good. But she'd stopped trying when it came to her mother.
Do you know where my sister is now? Scarlet asked.
I think she's still with Legend, Julian said.
Scarlet slowly peeled back the sheets. She wanted to get up, but given her gown's fondness for Julian, she was a little nervous as to what it might have shifted into while she was in his bed. Oddly, it was still the same deep pink garment it had been before. She wondered if the emotions that had worn her out had depleted some of the gown's magic as well. Julian hopped off the bed, misreading her hesitation.
Do you need help?
I can manage, Scarlet said.
But Julian's arms were already around her. He picked her up with one quick swoop and carried her into a sitting room.
Julian, I can walk.
Maybe I just want an excuse to hold you.
He grinned like a thief who'd just gotten away with a crime. She let herself lean into him.
It felt good to be in his arms. He was the perfect distraction from all the horrors she could have dwelled on.
He set her down on a velvety couch, warm from sunbeams streaming through the floor-to-ceiling windows. A tray of luncheon foods sat on the coffee table across from her. Julian piled up a plate with thick sandwiches and cheese for her. As she ate, she noticed that the bandage from yesterday was still around his arm, and though he'd not changed his clothes, the dressing on it looked fresh, as if he had taken the time to put a new one on while she'd been unconscious. Scarlet gingerly touched the bottom of the cloth.
You never told me what happened here.
It's a secret.
He rocked back on his heels, just out of her reach. Scarlet couldn't tell if he was being playful or evading.
Do you plan on wearing the bandage forever?
He pulled at the back of his neck, definitely evading.
Why are you so interested in it?
Because it looks as if you're hurt and you won't tell me what happened.
What if I gave you a secret instead?
Before she could answer, he loped into his bedroom and returned with a cloth-bound book, so old that its ochre cover was practically paper thin.
I had someone take this from Legend's library while you were asleep. It's one of the oldest books he has on the Fates, and it's all about the faded objects.
Scarlet tucked her legs beneath her to make room for him on the couch.
Are you going to read me a bedtime story from it?
Maybe later.
He pulled a pair of glasses from his pocket, which made him look boyish and charming and sweeter than Scarlet thought was possible.
Do you still have the key that little girl gave you yesterday?
Scarlet reached inside her dress pocket and pulled it out.
Is this what you're talking about?
You might want to be careful who you offer that to.
I think that little girl was right about it being magical. I believe it might be one of the 8 fated objects.
Julian sat beside her on the couch, his leg brushing her knees as he started to read.
Index of Destiny, the Reverie Key predicts dreams come true. It can turn any lock and take whoever holds the key to any person that they can imagine. However, the Reverie Key's power cannot be taken. To be used, the key must be received as a gift. Like many of the other faded objects, it chooses who it's given to, often appearing out of nowhere before it's given away to someone worthy and in need.
Julian's eyes met hers as he finished reading.
How's that for a secret, Crimson?
The object shimmered brighter and warmer in Scarlet's palm. It definitely looked enchanted. Maybe it was just her muddled head, but she had the feeling that the object was hopeful she would use it, even more hopeful than the earnest little girl with the braids had been when she'd said she thought that Scarlet was magical. Scarlet didn't feel magical at the moment. Her emotions felt fragile and dry as cracked paint. But Julian was trying so hard to cheer her up with his secret, which actually felt much more like a gift. It might not have been something tangible, but it was incredibly thoughtful. He could have said he was giving it to her as part of the competition, but he didn't. And Scarlet didn't want to tarnish this moment for him by bringing the contest or Nicholas up.
This is perfect. She even managed to give him a smile. But just to make sure you're right, I think we should test it out together.
Julian's face lit up as his mouth hitched into a grin. Scarlet thought she might have heard a knock on the door, but if Julian heard it, he ignored it. His eyes were on Scarlet as she held out a crystal key that sparkled even more than before, as if she'd said exactly what it wanted to hear. Chapter 20. Donatella. Tella knew she'd found the right place when she saw the door clapper shaped like a broken heart. It felt like a warning that nothing good could come from stepping inside. Maybe she should have tried harder to get Legend to tell her his weakness before running off to Jax so quickly. Jax might not choose to help her again, and if he did tell her the Fallen Star's weakness, it would definitely come at a cost. But what would the cost be if she walked away? Would the Fallen Star murder more people? Would he discover that Paloma had 2 daughters and come after Scarlet and Tella? Tella knocked on the door and it immediately swung open, letting her inside Jack's gambling den. Dice flew while young patrons clapped, all of them eager to lose fortunes that they hadn't even earned and favors Jax would no doubt collect from them later. Everyone looked fresher than they'd been last night. The ladies' smiles weren't smudged, the gentlemen's cravats were sharp, and the drinks were unspilled. Tonight's games had only just begun.
"Aren't you a pretty thing?"
A woman with red diamonds painted on her cheeks sauntered over to Tella. She was dressed to match the cards on the tables, in a knee-length skirt of black and white stripes, which flared over her full hips. Her fitted jacket hid shiny spade-shaped buttons, but her long sleeves were all wrong for the hot season, making Tella wonder if there were cards or weapons hidden inside them. If this woman worked for Jax, it wouldn't have been a surprise. Though after a second look, Tella didn't imagine this person worked for the Prince of Hearts, or that she was even a person. Copper curls that shined like coins framed a face with a light brown complexion covered in dark freckles and eyes like liquid diamonds, practically clear, and very inhuman. No, this was not a person at all. This woman was a fate. Tella stumbled backward, tripping on her ripped hem.
That's not the response I usually get.
The fate's smile stretched wide, making everyone within a 10-foot radius grin in unison. Then there was a thunderous round of applause, punctuated with several loud whoops and whistles, as if more than half the room had just had a tremendous streak of luck. This woman was definitely a fate. Mistress Luck, if Tella's guess was right. Her card usually represented good fortune, but Tella didn't care. She continued backing toward the door as black and red confetti fell from the ceiling. Stay away from me! Mistress Luck's smile dimmed, and a series of gasps and disappointed groans filled the gambling den.
You know how much most people would pay for my advice? Asked the fate.
That's why I'd rather pass on it. I'm sure the price is entirely too high. The fate shook her head and pursed her lips. But then, her eerie eyes sparked with a flash of iridescent light.
Oh my, you're her, aren't you? You're the one who made Jack's heart beat.
The fate's clear eyes went toward Tella's chest as if there was a piece of eerie treasure hidden inside.
You're his weakness.
Tella froze at the word weakness. Mistress Luck's smile returned, and the den filled with cheers once more.
Seems I have your attention now.
Oh, she definitely had Tella's attention. This was exactly what Tella wanted. If this woman could give it to her, then Tella wouldn't even need to talk to Jax. What does it mean to be a fate's weakness?
It means you and Jax are both in danger. Immortals and humans are not meant to be together.
Tella choked on a laugh.
Jax and I aren't together. I hate Jax.
But the words definitely didn't taste as true as they should have. Mistress Luck could clearly tell from her response.
Don't humans usually avoid things they hate?
Sometimes Jax is a necessary evil.
Then make him unnecessary.
Mistress Luck gripped Tella's arm as her cheery voice turned into something harsh.
Your relationship with the Prince of Hearts will end in catastrophe.
I already told you, we don't have a relationship.
Tella tried to pull free, but the fate's grip was inhumanly strong.
You're in denial. If you weren't drawn to him, you wouldn't be here.
Tella tried to object, but the fate just kept talking.
You're the human girl who made Jax's heart beat again. There are whispers you're his one true love,
but that doesn't mean what you think it does.
Immortals cannot love. Love is not one of our emotions.
Then it shouldn't matter if I'm Jax's true love, Tella said.
You didn't let me finish.
Mistress Luck squeezed Tella's arm a little harder.
When we're attracted to humans, we only feel obsession, fixation, lust, possession. But on very rare occasions, we come across humans who tempt us to love. But it always ends badly. Love is poison to us. Love and immortality cannot coexist. If an immortal feels true love for even a minute, they become human for that minute. If the feeling lasts too long, their mortality becomes permanent. And most immortals would kill the object of their affection rather than become human. It's not safe to tempt an immortal to love. And if Jax doesn't kill you because he's tempted to love you, then I promise his obsession with you will destroy you.
A hush fell over the den at her words, as if the entire room had just been dealt a bad hand.
If you have any intelligence, you'll turn and walk away. Now.
The fate finally released Tella's arm, and then she drifted back through the sea of gamblers, claps and cheers following her as she moved. Tella tried to shake off the feel of her grip, but she couldn't shake off her words. Love and immortality cannot coexist. We only feel obsession, fixation, lust, possession. If an immortal feels love for even a minute, they become human for that minute. If the feeling lasts too long, their mortality becomes permanent. And most immortals would kill the object of their affection rather than become human. Now Tella knew what an immortal's one weakness was. Love. To kill the fallen star, they would need to make him fall in love. But he was definitely the sort who would murder a human before loving them. A sharp ache panged beneath her breastbone, right around her heart. But the hurt went far deeper than that. This was not the weakness Tella would have imagined. But now she understood why Legend hadn't wanted her to know about it. Legend didn't love her. And he never would love her. Not as long as he wanted to remain immortal.
You look as if you're in pain again, Jax drawled.
Tella spun around, her heart racing at the sound of his voice. Tonight the Prince of Hearts was dressed like a debauched ringmaster, in a deep burgundy coat with a popped collar and ripped-off sleeves that revealed the black and white shirt beneath, which had been carelessly left unbuttoned. His white cravat hung untied around his neck, and his black pants were only half-tucked into his scuffed boots. He was the exact opposite of Legend. Legend always looked as if he could walk away from the apocalypse unscathed, while Jax always seemed as if he'd just come from a fight, all wild, almost violently reckless in his appearance. And yet because he was a fate, Jax still managed to be almost painfully attractive.
Here to see if I can make you feel better?
He sank his teeth into the corner of his mouth, drawing one sparkling bead of gold-red blood.
I'm happy to help you out again.
Tella's belly dipped and her cheeks flushed with heat.
That's not what I want.
Are you sure about that? You definitely look as if you want something.
He laughed as he flicked out his tongue to catch the blood at the corner of his mouth. Still chuckling, he sauntered off toward a nearby roulette table.
Wait, Tella stormed after him. I need to talk to you.
I'd rather gamble.
He grabbed the knob in the center of the already spinning black and red wheel and gave it another whirl, making it turn faster as the people at the table grumbled.
Place a bet, and then we'll talk.
Fine. Tella pulled out a handful of coins.
Not that sort of bet, my love.
His silver blue eyes sparkled, taunting and daring, along with something else she couldn't place fast enough.
I think we can make this a little more interesting.
How?
He tugged at his lower lip with two pale fingers.
If the ball lands on black, we'll talk, like you want. I'll answer the questions you came here with. But if it falls on red, you have to let me into your dreams.
Not a chance.
Then this conversation is over.
He turned.
Oh, wait!
Tella reached up and clamped a hand on his shoulder. Jax slowly spun around, smiling as if he'd already won more than just the right to slip inside of her dreams.
I haven't agreed yet, Tella said. And if I do say yes to this bet, you need to promise that you won't keep anyone else out of my dreams.
Why?
He leaned in closer, surrounding her with the crisp scent of apples.
Did someone complain?
I'm complaining. They're my dreams, and you don't have the right to keep anyone else from them.
I was doing it for you, Jack said sweetly.
Dreams might seem insignificant, but they give away more secrets than people realize. Is that why you want inside of mine?
His smile was all sharp edges. Then all Tella could hear was the way Mistress Luck had said the word obsession. It didn't matter why Jax wanted into her dreams. The fact that he wanted in them and had kept Legend out should have scared her. Jax had seemed safe last night because Tella had been too numb to care about all the things he'd done. But he was still viperous.
Better decide quickly, he taunted. The odds could be much worse, and I could have asked for far more.
Whirr. The wheel continued spinning, but the little white ball was losing momentum. And Tella had no doubt that when it stopped, Jax would walk away or offer her a bet with worse